Have you ever been panhandled and said no? I have. Have you ever been on the off-ramp where the poor wait and turned your eyes from their sight and done nothing? I have. Have you ever had the power to forgive something and stood arrogant or cold in your heart and offered nothing? I've done that too. Do you recall being in that childish place where you could offer friendship to the unpopular or to the painfully shy or the newcomer and done nothing? Me too. Have you ever been downright angry so that you almost shook or did? Knowing that something was out of kilter inside you and then exacted some emotional price of another, a child, a parent, a life partner, a friend, and then refused to acknowledge that the issue was you as much as it was them. Yep, that's on my list. Have you ever known people who speak sweetly to your face and then throw emotional daggers at your backside? Kind in your company and cruel in your absence, only you learn about it. Yep, I know that one as well. Have you ever been injured by someone whose callousness goes unchecked once and then twice again, and then your bitterness seems as weighty as their injury, and you wonder what in heaven's name to do with it? Have you ever come to that point when you know the sin visited on you by another is just too costly to house, to home within you any longer? Some injury, some neglect of care, some insult to your personal value, some abuse of power over or in relationship to you. And part of you wants it gone, and another part of you has a death grip on it. And you wonder what to do, forgive, gain revenge, silence the memory, cast it far, far away, nurse it. One of the greatest sadnesses held out to us today in the space between the Palm Sunday Gospel and the Passion's ending is that we hear so much cruel, rejecting, brutal behavior coming towards Jesus, the unrelenting, broken places of the human heart. We call him teacher. We call him Son of God and Lord. We think on him as the model of divine care and human flesh, and we watch all these centuries later at how he held dignity and injury and forgiveness in the silent, unspoken spaces of the Passion reading, as death's long shadow casts its mark on his very being. And we are not innocent, because some part of us has done the same. We have been loved and injured love. We have promised faithfulness and betrayed it, or been betrayed by it. We are pieces of us that echo with, "I wish I had not," as Judas betrays, as Peter promises loyalty and then hides away, as the disciples sleep through the watchful hours of Jesus' turmoil, the supporting crowds turn away and betray, catch the moment and place their loyalty in a shifty character called Barabbas. Political figures see right and wrong and choose to self-preserve. Religious authorities cave to fear and the threat of change. Others look on powerless in their choice of silence as if their voice had no resource to bring change or care. Matthew's Jesus reaches to the 22nd Psalm on his dying breath. My God, why have you forsaken me? A psalm that, had he had the breath, would go on to say, do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is no one to help. And yet he dies with a loud cry, we are told. Luke's Jesus says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. A voice consistent with Jesus as Luke offers Jesus to us. In the Passion, there is then belated recognition of value and goodness. Surely he is the Son of God. There is kindness, the borrowed grave, the hurried care for the body, those who come and seal the grave. And then the Sabbath silence, the waiting takes its place. Do we know what that is anymore? Like when the electricity has gone out and the power charges all run low, and we sit in some pregnant silence waiting for who knows what. The silence of the world's inactivity, the place where God waits beside us in our breath, and meaning waits for us to listen, just to listen again. We gather here today and this week to remember, to call present, that there is a cost to human choice, a cost to small things visited on each other that hurt, a cost to things that we leave unforgiven and unattended, a cost to what we look past or ignore, a cost to the distant places inside us that we call sin, the moments when we lose touch with what it is to gather up in the intended goodness of God, and we fall away from God's will into some distortion that we call our own will. We have seen that cost on one another's face, we have felt it on our own, and the cost is borne to the very heart of God, to the core of God. That is the cross of Jesus' passion. It runs counter to hope and to God's intention. But the cost and God's hope and intention are not neglected on the cross. Continually, there is this reaching toward us. Supremely, it is caught up in Jesus on the cross. Elsewhere, he says, and when I am lifted up, I will draw the whole world to myself. We sit here within that reach, within that draw, to let it settle on us, to let it instruct us. He who was lifted up bids us bear our task of seeing, of doing gracious things together, forgiving, emulating, opening to the compassionate life within us that seeks to follow Jesus' life. The gift is that we find ourselves in this space, where it is as if some divine hand reaches toward us to roll away the ancient stone of compassion's neglect. And there we find our life, Christ crucified and yet risen within us. Amen.